Our text for this morning is one of the most mysterious verses in the Bible. And it's also one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. It's Genesis 5:24, which says this: Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him. There are only two people in the history of humanity who never experienced death before they entered eternal life. One of them is Enoch, and the other is Elijah. And that's what makes our text so mysterious. What happened to Enoch is an incredibly rare thing. And we're not really given any details about what happened. We're simply told that God took him. And it's clear from the surrounding verses that he didn't die, because our text occurs in the middle of a genealogy. And what the verses say about everyone else, from Adam to Enoch, and then from Enoch to Noah, is that they died. But Enoch didn't die. God took him. There's also something else said about Enoch that isn't said about anyone else in the genealogy except Noah. Enoch walked with God. Now, what does it mean that Enoch walked with God? Well, we can tell from the rest of Scripture that walking is a metaphor for living. Let me give you a few examples. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Ephesians 4:1, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Walking is a metaphor for living. We live by faith. We live by the Spirit. We live in a manner worthy of our calling. Enoch lived with God. He knew God personally. He had a personal relationship with him. Now, walking with God is a beautiful metaphor, because there's this picture of God and Enoch walking together. Enoch knew God intimately. He walked with him each day. He had a personal relationship with God. Now, why did God take Enoch? Is there a connection between Enoch walking with God and God taking him? I think there is. God took Enoch because he wanted him to be with him. He wanted Enoch to be in his very presence, to no longer walk by faith, but to walk by sight. Enoch loved God, and God loved him. This is a beautiful picture. Enoch walked with God, and God took him so he could be with him forever. I think there's another reason God took him. In Enoch's genealogy, he's surrounded by death. Every person in his genealogical line before him died. And every person in his genealogical line after him died. And Enoch's not dying points to eternal life. Enoch never tasted death. He went straight from this life to eternal life. Surrounded by death, Enoch points to the hope of eternal life. And as the biblical story unfolds, we're told that the only way to eternal life is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says this in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the only way to eternal life. But this isn't just true for us. It was also true for Enoch. Enoch wasn't a perfect man. He inherited Adam's sinful nature, just like the rest of us. And he had to fight against his sinful nature, just like us. So God didn't take Enoch because he was perfect. He took him because he walked with him. Because Enoch knew him. Because he loved him. Because he trusted that one day God would send the Messiah to die for his sins. He trusted in God for forgiveness and eternal life. And so he walked with God. He lived with him each day. He had a personal relationship with him. Every Christian walks with God. It's not possible to be a Christian and not walk with God. Every Christian has eternal life. And this is how Jesus describes eternal life in John 17:3. He says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is knowing God. It's being in a relationship with him forever. It's living with him. It's walking with him. You see, Enoch was an Old Testament Christian. He walked with God. He knew God. He loved God. He trusted God. And God took him so he could be in his very presence forever. And if we walk with God, God will take us too. Not in the way that he took Enoch. He doesn't promise us that. But he does promise that he will take his people when they die or when Jesus returns. Something I've never realized in our text before is that Enoch points to the return of Jesus. Remember, I said at the beginning of my sermon that our text is mysterious because Enoch was one of only two people who didn't die before they entered eternal life. Well, it's not going to be that way forever. When Jesus returns, there are going to be many more people like Enoch than Elijah. All followers of Jesus who are alive when he returns will never experience death. They will go straight from this life to eternal life. What an incredible blessing that would be, to not taste death. To be alive when the Lord Jesus returns in power and with great glory. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 describes Jesus' return as the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. If Jesus returned today, and if we are truly his people, we would glorify him and marvel at him. We would marvel at him because he gave his life for us. And we would marvel at him because he gives us eternal life with him instead of eternal judgment away from his presence. And we would marvel at him because we don't deserve to be with him. And yet we will be. Many of you know Colin Buchanan because of his kids' songs. And his kids' songs are fantastic. But he also has some wonderful songs for adults. One of them is called Real Hope. And these are some of the lyrics. I have real fears. I do real sin. And I hurt the ones I cherish and adore. The real mercy of the true God sees the filthy, fallen, purchased and restored. And I cry, my God, oh, fill me with a heart completely yours. I bet all I have on Jesus. I will throw myself on him. The one who died a real death for real sin. I bet all I have on Jesus, and throughout eternity, I will marvel at the real hope my Saviour won for me. When the Lord Jesus returns, he comes to be marveled at by his followers, and we will marvel at him forever. We will marvel at the God who became a man to save rebels who deserved condemnation. And until he returns, we walk with him each day. We live with him. We love him. We take up our cross daily and follow him. How did Enoch walk with God when God wasn't physically present with him? What do people do when they walk together? They talk. Enoch walked with God by talking with him. We have a special name for talking with God, don't we? It's called prayer. But prayer is simply talking with God. If we want to walk with God, then we need to talk with him. We need to commune with him. We need to converse with him. We need to be in his presence. And if we don't pray, we perish. How can I say that? Isn't salvation by faith alone? Yes, it is. But someone who claims to have faith but doesn't have a personal relationship with the God they claim to believe in doesn't have the kind of faith the Bible talks about. Here's an example of the kind of faith the Bible talks about. It's Philippians 3, 7 to 11, where the Apostle Paul says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." Paul had faith in Jesus. And what did he say was of surpassing worth? Knowing Jesus. Not just knowing about Jesus intellectually, but knowing him personally. And he just wanted to know him more. Here's another example from the same letter. Philippians 1:21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Jesus was Paul's reason for living. He was the reason Paul got up every morning. He was the reason Paul did everything he did. And death was gain because he got to be in Jesus' very presence. Just like Enoch, except Enoch didn't die, God took him. But Enoch and Paul wanted the very same things: intimacy with God, to know God personally. For those of you who are walking with God, who know God personally, Let me encourage you to keep walking with him every day. Talk with him as soon as you wake up in the morning and just before you go to sleep at night, and many, many times in between. And ask God to help you walk closer with him each day, to know him better, to love him more. But if you have no desire to spend time with God, then you don't know him. You might know about him. You might have even been coming to church your whole life. But if you don't consider everything else a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, then you don't know him. And I want you to know him. I want you to have the joy I have in knowing him. The joy of walking with him, of being in his presence. If you don't have this joy and you want to have it, then please talk to me. Let me close by reading Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that Genesis 5:24 is in your word. I admit that when I was reading Genesis 5 earlier in the week, I did not expect to find my text for this morning because it was a genealogy, and yet you surprised me. You caused those words to jump out at me from the page. You gripped me with them. Father, we thank you for that beautiful picture that Enoch walked with you, that he lived with you, that he knew you. And it is so beautiful that you took him. You took him out of this world so that he could be in your very presence in glory. You took him so that he'd never experience death. What a blessing. Thank you for the glimpse that we have into the kind of relationship he had with you, one of closeness and intimacy and mutual love. And you took him because you wanted him to be with you. You loved him. Father, thank you that you promise us the same intimacy through the Lord Jesus Christ, that if we come to you through faith in him, we have the same promise that in your presence there is fullness of joy, that all other joys in this world are inferior. There's nothing that can compare to the joy of being in your presence. And we are fools when we try to find our joy elsewhere, because it's not as deep and it doesn't last. Father, I pray that if there is anyone here this morning who knows that they've never walked with you, they've never truly known you personally, they've known about you, they've heard about you, but they've never seen you with the eyes of the heart, please open their heart now. Give them spiritual eyes to see you, to taste that you are good. Please reveal yourself to them, Father, this very morning. And Father, for those of us who are walking with you, oh, for a closer walk with you. Father, please draw us closer and closer. Give us a desire to spend time in your presence rather than chasing other joys that just don't satisfy and just don't last. They leave us empty. They leave us longing for more. Because you made us to find true and satisfying and lasting joy in you and in you alone. Father, please work these miracles in us this morning. For the glory of your wonderful name. Amen.